Incredible things have taken place in the past 100 years. We're experiencing more change than ever in history. I mean, just look at this past year, right? COVID. It's changed everything in our lives. We've had things stop. We've had things, our entire lives have changed. Now, the rate of change is so great that we barely catch our breath before another blast of change slams into us. Everything we're familiar with is changing. And I've been in some communities where people are coming and going so fast that when I was actually up here preaching, it felt like I was preaching to a parade. That's how quick things go. We are forever on the move. We're doing things, we're eating stuff, we're working, we're jogging, we're writing, we're marrying, we're moving, we're shopping, you name it, we're doing it. The pace is somewhere between maddening and insane. People are coming and going 24 hours a day. The interstates and most of the streets, now that COVID has died down a bit, are choked with traffic. It never stops. Born Triggers, I don't know how you do it. Everything you guys go through with all the kids you have, with your jobs, with your school, you guys are always on the move, and I applaud you for everything you do. I didn't think so. You know, faces reflect the tension. Air is polluted, the earth shakes, nerves are shot, and the streets are dangerous. This is the age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash. The bright night with the nerves tight, the plane hop and the brief stop. It is the age of the lamp tan and the short span, the big shot and the good spot, and the brain strain and the heart pain, and the cat naps to the spring snaps, and the fun's done. Change is a constant companion in our fast-paced lives. Every day in America, 108,000 of us move to a different home. 18,000 people move to a different state. I did that this past year. And of those 18,000 that moved to another state, 700 moved to Florida every single day in America. Every day in America, the United States government issues 50 more pages of regulations. 40 Americans turn 100. And every day in America, the world's inhabitants will flush the toilet 22 billion times. That's enough water for half the global population to take a bath. Every day in America, 167 businesses go bankrupt, while another 689 new ones start up. And 100 Americans every day in America become millionaires. I'm just waiting for my turn. You know, every day in America, Americans purchase 45,000 new automobiles and trucks and smash 87,000 of them. More than 6,300 people every day in America get divorced, while 13,000 get married. Every day in America, we eat 75 acres of pizza. We eat 53 million hot dogs. We eat 167 million eggs. We eat 3 million gallons of ice cream. And we eat 3,000 tons of candy. With Halloween coming, that number might be skewed a little bit. You know, more information has been produced in the last 30 years than in the previous 5,000 years. More than one half of the scientists that have ever lived are alive today. 90% of the world, 90% of all the items that you find in the supermarket today didn't exist 10 years ago. It is estimated that 50% of college graduates are going into jobs which did not exist when they were born. It is also estimated that 90% of the businesses in the United States today were started in the last 25 years. These kinds of changes are taking place in every field that we have. Travel has changed. More than 200 years ago, George Washington traveled from Virginia to Washington, D.C. by horseback. And it would take him 10 days traveling at the speed of 25 miles per day. Not per hour, per day. Today, astronauts can enter a space shuttle and travel at 25,000 miles per hour. And at that speed, you can fly from New York City to San Francisco in 8 minutes. with all these advances in air travel, it is possible to have breakfast in New York, lunch in Dallas, and dinner in Los Angeles and have your baggage end up in Mexico. One man put it this way. My great-grandfather rode a horse, but was afraid of a train. My grandfather rode on a train, but was afraid of a car. My father rode in a car, but was afraid of an airplane. I ride in an airplane, and I am deathly afraid of a horse. Entertainment has changed. Since the 30s, movies have gone from silent to unspeakable. By the 50s, there were three TV stations. You had ABC, you had NBC, and you had CBS. Now there are well over 750 channels, so that by the time you find the program you want to watch, it's already over. And too many television talk shows have become just one big grab bag of dysfunctional people talking about their miserable lives. Politics have changed. Many changes have turned our world into a war zone. Political corruption abounds. The crime rate escalates as domestic violence, gang wars, and drug traffickers plague our communities. One out of every four households in the United States will be touched by a theft or violent crime this year. One out of every five women of childbearing age will have an abortion this year. In 2017, 1 million babies were killed. Within our memories, abortion was a felony in virtually every state in America. Today, abortion is commonplace. Every 4 seconds, a woman is violently assaulted somewhere in America. One in every four members of a church or a synagogue is either a survivor or a victim of sexual or domestic violence. Drug abuse, suicide, sexual disease, AIDS are major problems that should concern every single one of us. Our schools are in trouble. In the 50s, the major discipline problems in our public schools were cigarette smoking, skipping class, running in the halls, spitballs, chewing gum, and whispering in class. Today, the major problems are deadly weapons. Kids carrying guns, knives, even assault weapons. This is followed by arson, drugs, vandalism, and drunkenness. I know I was talking with Kurt, and Kurt's a principal at a high school, and they have detectors that can detect vapes. And vapes are rampant in every single school. There's recently in Florida, a high school teacher observed a number of boys in the corner of a gymnasium on their hands and knees. Reaching up to the boys, the teacher demanded, "What are you doing?" One of the boys looked up and answered, "We're shooting dice." The teacher replied, "Oh, thank goodness. I thought you were praying." Relationships are changing. 50% of our marriages now end in divorce. And the odds are when a couple walks down the aisle in a marriage to be married, their marriages will not last 7 years. One of them will walk out before the warranty of their refrigerator runs out. 42% of our young people say they are sexually active. And one in every 16 teenage girls will have a baby each year. Our society has abandoned God's laws of relationships and have been writing their own. We've reached a state where common decency is no longer common. All of our doing without God has finally undone us. You know, with all the changes creating chaos and crisis, we as a church have been trying to hold on. But just look how the change has been impacting our churches. More than 50% of our churches are either in a plateau where they're stagnant, they're not doing anything, or they're on a decline. The number of unchurched Americans is at about 50% or more. Two-thirds of our children in America are receiving no religious training. We're facing years ahead when it will, and it already has, become increasingly more difficult to minister. I know in Canada right now, if I was up here and speaking against homosexuality, which the Bible says is wrong, I could be thrown in jail for a hate crime. And it's coming here, guys. Everything is becoming okay. So as our world appears to be whirling out of control, racing towards a collision with certain calamity, what can we do? Well, we must remember that God is still in charge and that God never changes. You know, our world is in the grip of an infinite, all-powerful God of the universe. He is in control. He never loses track of what's going on. He never gets confused. He never frets over decisions. He always makes the right decision. He always knows what he will do even before the circumstances arise. God has a grip on the reins of the world, and his purposes will be carried out. The scriptures speak of our changeless God in this changing world which we happen to be in. Found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And just so you know, back when these words were spoken, they were spoken in a time of great change in the world at that time. Worship had become flippant and casual as people gave their leftovers to God. The moral law, the law of God, had been disregarded, especially concerning marriage. The Lord's command to tithe had been ignored to the economical detriment of the nation. And neither priest nor people took seriously the threat of the approaching judgment. Kind of sounds familiar, right? Kind of sounds like the world today. In that kind of world, the Lord was reminding and warning his people that he had not changed. We must have a renewed vision. We must have a passionate and clear vision of what God has called us to do and what we need to do and what we need to be. You know, too often we've taken our foot off the pedal and looked too long in the rearview mirror at past glories. Someone once said, when we have more memories than dreams, life is over. When we have greater memories than dreams, we will never make a difference changing our world for God. When we know where we're going, we must know where we're going and what we're going to do. When he was 88, the late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes was traveling on a train. The conductor came by and asked for his ticket. Judge Holmes searched his pockets and fumbled through his wallet without success. The conductor was sympathetic. He said, "Don't worry, Mr. Holmes. The Pennsylvania Railroad will be happy to trust you. When you reach your destination, you will probably find the ticket and you can mail it to us." The conductor's kindness didn't put Justice Holmes at ease. Holmes said, "My dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket. My problem is where I'm going." Many of us are experiencing the similar problem. We are sold a ticket, but we don't know where we're going. We must dream great dreams. The challenge before us is to aim high. God told Isaiah in Isaiah 43:18-19, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new." God is the God of new ideas, of innovation. God is a God who doesn't change, but he uses change. We must pray for new visions. We can't be content with what is. We must crave what can be. That which holds our attention will determine our actions. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered, look up. When we focus our attention upon God, setbacks will become springboards. Obstacles will become opportunities. Barriers will turn into blessings. Cowards will become courageous. And we can learn from Moses when it says in Hebrews 11:27, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen." You know, those last words in Hebrews should be used to instruct us. Moses' eyes were on God, and he was able to endure. The Living Bible translation says, instead of endure, it says, he kept on going. And in another translation, it says, he never flinched. Moses had staying power. Even with all the changes that challenged him, he kept his eyes on God, not the obstacles. He endured in his 80s, in his 90s, and well into his 100s. He endured despite the contempt of Pharaoh. He endured the stubbornness of Hebrews who grumbled, maligned him, complained, and rebelled. He endured amidst the criticism of those closest to him. Miriam, his sister. Aaron, his brother. Dothan and Abram, his companions. He endured as seeing him who is unseen. He fixed his eyes on the Lord, and he never looked back. You and I can do the same. We can endure by fixing our eyes on the Lord. Then we will be courageous. Even when conspirators seem to prosper, look at God. Even when the wicked seem to be winning, look at God. Even when the pressure seems to be unbearable, look at God. Even when the critics won't shut up, even when the big people act contemptibly small, look at God. Even when you feel as though you're all alone, and even when wrong is enthroned and truth is fighting for existence, look at God. Whatever it is you're facing, look at God. And as you stand on the edge of a new challenge, a new change, a new commitment, look at God. We must fix our eyes on the unchanging Christ. You know, when our eyes are on Christ, we can go forward fearlessly, knowing that the things which are shaken will only reveal the internal and unmovable God. Bring on the change. Lord, world, do your worst. If we have God with us, nothing can stand against us. There's an old hymn that's called, "Why Should I Fear the Darkest Hour?" And in this, it says this, "Why should I fear the darkest hour or tremble at the tempter's power? Jesus guarantees to be my tower. Though all the flocks and herds were dead, my soul of famine need not dread, for Jesus is my living bread. Against me earth and hell combined, be on my side, but on my side is power divine. Jesus is all, and he is mine." And God uses ordinary people totally committed to him to make a difference in a changing world. One person can make that difference. There's a man named Henry Varley. He was a British revivalist who had befriended an American evangelist named D.L. Moody. And Varley told Moody, it yet remains to be seen what God can do with a man, woman, or young person who is totally dedicated to him. D.L. Moody looked back at Henry Varley and said, "I will be that man." And God used D.L. Moody's evangelistic meetings to lead thousands and thousands to Jesus. He personally led more than 150,000 to the Lord. And I can say today that it still yet remains to be seen what God can do with a man, a woman, or a young person who is fully dedicated to the Lord. So step out and say, "I will be that one. Lord, use me." Life gets exciting when we give God our all, amen. Life gets exciting when we do what God wants us to do. God will take us beyond where we thought we could ever go, to things that we could never do. Then we can make a difference. Let's pray. Lord, in all we do, in all we say, help us to glorify you. There is so much that happens in this world. There is so much change in this world. There is so much junk that is going on today. There are so many things that this world does that are against you. But Lord, we know that you have it. We know you've got this. We know that with you, all things are possible. With you, we can stay strong. Lord, I pray for each and every one of the people in the congregation today, each and every person that's going to hear this online when it's online. Lord, I pray that you use us. Lord, the changes that happen in this world, a lot of them are bad. But Lord, I pray that you use us to make good changes in this world, to fight for what's right, fight for you. Lord, guide us in our lives. Help us to be that light that just shines through the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.